Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Get Ready Show!
I am the best in the world at what I do.
The best in pro wrestling talk.
And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold that's up. This right here is the future of wrestling.
And it begins now.
Can you dig it?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You have tuned in to the Ken Reedy Show, the best in pro wrestling talk. And we are here tonight, 6 o'clock, give you a full 2 hours leading you into WWE's battleground this evening. It's got all the makings of a real good pay-per-view. And we are going to go through everything, give you everything you need to know as you go into this pay-per-view. Most importantly, though, as we continue to talk here and talk and talk and talk and give you our opinions, we need to hear from you. So get on the horn. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about tonight's pay-per-view. We want to hear your predictions. Is there going to be something really out of the ordinary tonight? Who knows? But we want to hear from you. Check us out on Facebook. You know what? Maybe you're a little shy. Maybe you can't bring yourself to make that phone call. Head on over to Facebook. Check out the Ken Reedy Show. Like us, and then you can get on board. There's a show chat going on right now. If you have something witty and interesting to say, perhaps we'll read it on the air. So get on there on Facebook. Let us know what you're thinking. You can check us out on Twitter. Our handle is at The Ken Reedy Show on Twitter. And as always, you can check out our website. That is thekenreedyshow.com. Blogs, bios, pictures, the whole nine. Head on over there and check us out on thekenreedyshow.com. We do this all the time. We're at you every Monday. We'll be back tomorrow night at 6:30 to give you a reaction and get you ready for Raw. But tonight it's all about giving you a pregame show before Battleground, and it's as we do it, I can't do it alone. I can't get through this alone, so I got my tag team partner on the line. Dave is here. Dave, how you doing tonight on this Battleground Sunday?
Well, the battle lines have been drawn, and I'm ready to go. Tonight normally would be one of those throwaway pay-per-views that you know, a lot of people out there in the wrestling world think, but there's a lot of interesting things tonight's show that could have bigger implications for storylines for WWE. So I'm pretty excited and ready to talk about some of these implications that could take place.
I'm pretty excited too. I mean, you know, and it's funny today, man. You know, it's great. It's the summertime. We're entering into SummerSlam season. Today, actually, I was out all day. Went to go see a minor league ball game here in Rockland County. Been out in the sun all day. Feeling a little loopy. Excited, but loopy. So if in the middle of tonight's show, if all of a sudden I start telling you that I'm really excited about seeing the Moondogs versus the Killer Bees in tonight's pay-per-view, just scold me, yell at me, get me back into reality. Or if actually I start sounding like a Mike Ferrara telephone call, it's the sun. I've just been out in it all day. But I'm really excited tonight, and I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view. And I think, Dave, you really hit it. It's a very good point. This is typically, very typically, a throwaway pay-per-view. Getting ready for SummerSlam. You know, it's like, hey, we got to make our $50. Let's throw a pay-per-view together. We're really getting ready for SummerSlam. Who cares about Battleground? throw something together, and move on to SummerSlam. What I find intriguing right now, in as far as the landscape of the WWE, and we've all heard all the talkings and the stocks and the network is underperforming, and you know, we have talked for a long time on this show, and every so often it comes up that, you know, WCW and WWE, and when they were competing, how great it was to be a wrestling fan, and how competition breeds a better product, and that's kind of what you want to see, and how we've talked about that. We want to see TNA succeed, so maybe it just gives the WWE a little bit of a scare to prompt both companies to just put out a better product. We haven't seen that. We haven't seen a lot of competition. But what I think we're looking at right now, which is good for us as fans, is the WWE is almost in competition with themselves. They need to sell this network. They need to push the network. They need the subscriptions. Now, look, I love the network. All right, put that right there. The network's awesome. If you don't get it and you're a wrestling fan, just get the network. It's amazing. But, you know, I'm not a businessman. I'm not a CEO. I'm not going to pretend to understand all the different formulas and machinations that are out there as far as, like, what they needed to sell and what hasn't sold and how many subscriptions they had to get and how short they are. But the bottom line is what you're hearing in WWE news, on the dirt sheets, and even in business news is that the network is underperforming and the WWE really, really wants and needs this network to succeed. And to promote this network, you cannot have a throwaway pay-per-view. Someone could have subscribed an hour ago. Someone could have signed up for the network an hour ago. And the WWE does not want that guy who just signed up to watch Battleground and just come away like, oh, that Battleground, it sucked. And the network is so not worth it. And that's good for us. That's good for us as fans. That they are going to take each and every pay-per-view seriously. And you know, maybe down the road a piece, the network oversells and overperforms. And maybe we start getting some throwaway pay-per-views again. But to me, right now, they can't. They can't give you a throwaway pay-per-view. Something has to happen. Something significant has to happen. Something has to happen tonight where the people who didn't subscribe and didn't watch the pay-per-view are regretting it tomorrow because what happened was so significant and it wasn't a WrestleMania and it wasn't a SummerSlam and it wasn't a Royal Rumble and it was Battleground and something so significant happened that as a fan, you're just, I have to see every pay-per-view. I have to get the network. And that's why, Dave, like you said, typically a throwaway pay-per-view, but I think there's a lot of potential. And I'm curious your thoughts, Dave, as far as what I'm saying, that the WWE is kind of competing with themselves right now, but it's good for us.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring up that point because, you know, I do agree to a sense that they're kind of putting the pressure on themselves, but I think outside pressure from the media and from the business world is putting pressure on them. Also, the investors, the television deal that they got, it was not as lucrative as they thought they were going to get, which, you know, took that recent stock plummet. But however, if you notice when watching WWE television and they do promote the network, you notice how they're not talking about Battleground as a pay-per-view. They're promoting it solely on the WWE network. A lot of pay-per-view providers aren't too happy about that. A lot of pay-per-view providers have shied away from carrying WWE pay-per-views because of that. Some stories that I have heard that I've read that WWE needs at least 1.3 to 1.4 million subscribers by the end of this year to break even. They hope within the next week or two that they get 875,000 subscribers. The day of WrestleMania, they had roughly between 400 and 500,000 subscribers for the WWE Network. Right before WrestleMania, hours before WrestleMania went on the air, they had that jumped all the way to like 625,000 or something like that. Eventually, the number that they want to reach that's going to make their network successful and the company successful as a whole is 2 million. 2 million steady network subscribers. I think eventually they will get to those numbers. Right now you got to understand, this network is only being provided stateside to the United States. There's talk of expanding to Japan next year with this network. There's even talk by the end of this year of expanding to, you know, overseas to the UK and Europe. So there's still time. This is in the early stages of this network. And I believe that they'll get there at some point. It may take longer than they like, but I believe that they'll get there. As far as the quality of the product goes and what needs to happen, I do agree with you in some sense. If you're not going to promote the pay-per-views, you know, as a pay-per-view to your pay-per-view subscribers, and you want to beef up this network, then you got to beef up your pay-per-views. I think they're doing it in little ways, like I said, by announcing, you know, the pay-per-view battleground exclusive only on the WWE Network, kind of phasing out the pay-per-view format model so they can really push this network. I think other ways that they can help beef up this network, we saw on Monday the commercial for the 2K15 video game for WWE with, you know, the appearance of Sting. Now, that's not a WWE deal. That's a video game deal that Sting has with that company. But, however, that could potentially lead to, and from what I'm hearing, more likely going to lead to a contract in WWE. You're going to get some of those old wrestling fans, those WCW wrestling fans who stopped watching wrestling after WCW, try and attract them by bringing a name like Sting over to WWE, watching some of the older content on the network and having him on television in a, not a regular basis, but, you know, kind of like a Brock Lesnar schedule, or maybe announcing a future Hall of Fame induction. Some people out there in the wrestling world, for instance, by Mike Johnson from Pro Wrestling Insider, came up with an idea to really, if you want to garner wrestling fans of old to subscribe to this network, not just with the content, but maybe even somewhat of a format change in the content on the network. For instance, some of the older wrestling shows like WCW Saturday Night used to air at 6.05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you know, when it was originally airing on TBS. You take shows like that, you air it in its old original time slot. You know, the Monday Night Wars, apparently they want to air that on a Thursday. What if you aired that on a Monday instead? Kind of bring some nostalgia to the time slot of the network and maybe get some of those older wrestling fans to come back. So if you subscribe to the network and you want to watch an old WCW Saturday Night episode, you can watch it at 6.05 live on the WWE Network. So there's just a few different ways that they could market this network and some ways that they already have marketed this network to really compete with themselves. But once again, I do agree. Tonight, I think, heading into SummerSlam, which is their second biggest important pay-per-view of the year, they really have to lay the groundwork as to how they're going to get there, and I think something big is going to happen tonight, and we'll discuss further what or how big tonight could be with this pay-per-view.
I mean, it's funny when you look at the pay-per-view match by match, and it's really, that's why I you know, again, and he gets like, you know, I got to hand it to Triple H because I've liked a lot of what I've seen as of late over the past year. And if he's influencing, it's a good thing. And, you know, having to sell the network, it's a good thing. I mean, it's funny as we sit here and talk about it because, I mean, the network works, which is great. And that was my biggest fear, that I'd get the network and I'd be trying to stream something and it just wouldn't work. It works. It's phenomenal. I think it's a great idea by Mike Johnson to kind of pull in some of those nostalgic time slots. Totally agree. I mean, well, the Monday Night Wars needs to be on Monday night. I like all that, but I mean, you know, again, like, and we've talked about it on the show. You know, half the reason, you know, and Dave, you know, we're here on the East Coast, and let's face it. I mean, on the East Coast, you know, there are most areas, you have areas that, like, everybody has a computer and everyone is online and everyone has a smartphone. And, you know, I mean, maybe we're spoiled up in the Northeast. you know, and there are a lot of areas of the country that, you know, they don't have computers. They don't, they're not technically savvy. So there's that the WWE has to contend with. It's something very new, and it's such a new format. But I, you know, I'm so happy with it. So, you know, I agree with you. I think that they'll get the subscribers. They'll get there. It's funny, Dave, because I don't know about you. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not business savvy enough. And if anyone out there is, by all means, give us a call and explain it to us. Like, I don't know how they randomly pick, you know, we definitely need this number of subscribers by this time. I think that, like you said, they'll get the subscribers. They'll go worldwide. People will get more comfortable with technology. I was saying, you know, Dave and I, we've talked about it, Dave, how we didn't watch a lot of ROH because we didn't necessarily like watching things on the computer. You know, I mean, now with, like, the Roku device, you know, you can get the network on your TV. You can, you know, so many different ways to wire things so you can get it from the internet to your TV, your smart TV, hooking your Apple, your iPad up to your TV. I mean, but people are scared by new technology. So it's been slow on the uptake, I guess, but it's weird to me how they come up with these numbers like, oh, we need these subscribers by this date. I agree with you, Dave. They'll get there. It's a great product. And I don't know how you feel, Dave. I mean, I know we talk wrestling here, but we do have other hobbies outside of wrestling. The network right now, the WWE Network presently constituted, is one of the most fan-friendly things, if not the most fan-friendly thing I've ever seen.
It is. I mean, you're right. I do have hobbies outside of the network, and you know, it's interesting. The past week or so, I haven't, you know, maybe even almost 2 weeks, I haven't really dabbled with the network unless there's been something that, you know, I've watched to reference the show. I would say probably last night, as a matter of fact, I watched you know, the Dusty Rhodes documentary, which I have on DVD, but I just thought, well, let me pop in the network. You know, I got nothing else to watch. Cable TV sucks nowadays. But yeah, very fan friendly, and there's you know, if you think there's a lot now, I mean, they have tons more content that can you know, they could put on the network. It's just, it takes time. Like, people think it's just so easy. Oh, let's start a network. That's like, you know, if it was that easy, you and I would do it. You know what I mean? Like, they think it's
Dave, let's start a network.
Yeah, they think it's as easy as, you know, starting a lemonade stand in front of their house. You know, like, come on. Like, when you read these posts on the internet, especially from all these marks out there that get so unhappy, like, they're experts. First of all, your grammar and your spelling suck. Like, when you make these complaints about the WWE and their network, like, I don't dare go on any of these websites and make any posts or claims about what they should do with their network, because I know my spelling and grammar isn't the best, but don't go out there and blast them ethically, business-wise, when you can't even spell your first or last name to begin with. So, overall, fan-friendly, yes, and it'll be more fan-friendly as it goes on, I believe. I think, you know, with the more content that they have, that they produce, like I was just reading today, that, you know, last week or the week before, they put the Saturday night's main event content up there. Well, that's all the episodes for the 80s. They said they hope to have everything uploaded for the 90s episodes of Saturday night's main event. So, I mean, it takes a while. It's not that easy. So it's going to take some time. People are so, you know, it's almost like the wrestling fans are with storylines. They want everything boom, boom, quick, fast, right now. If they don't have it right now, then the whole storyline sucks. So I think patience would be the virtue of many wrestling fans when it comes to WWE and their network and the success of their network.
Especially because you can't get through everything that's already there.
So, I know.
You know,
can't.
Just be patient. I mean, there's enough there. But, yeah, I mean, as we go through all of this and as we talk about the network and how much, you know, it's a love fest as far as how we feel the network, the point being, Battleground looks great. Battleground has got a decent card, and where you get a throwaway in years past, you got a real good pay-per-view card coming up tonight, and I think there's going to be some very significant developments coming out of this pay-per-view, heading into SummerSlam. And it's cool to me as a wrestling fan to be sitting there saying I'm excited about Battleground. Like, Battleground. Like, that's the pay-per-view I'm excited. And I am. I'm excited. I think we're going to get a really, really good show tonight. And let's get into the show, like, point by point. And one of the angles, and you know, honestly, backtrack a little bit. One of the things I like about this pay-per-view is some of the simplifications of the storytelling. You know, sometimes you don't need to have an intricate storyline. Sometimes you can just go back to basics because the basics work, you know, and you know, I think Cameron and Naomi could be a decent match. It's a formula. They were a tag team. The tag team broke. It, you know, they hate each other now. It's just one person's a heel and one person's a face now. It's formulaic. I get it. It's been done before. I get it, but it works. And when you look at this pay-per-view, they simplified some of these things, and they simplify the storytelling, but their storytelling involved in every match. And as I talk about traditional storytelling and what we've seen in wrestling before, but things that work over and over again, I got to say, I really kind of got into the Swagger Rusev angle. USA versus Russia, it works. It's good. You got two decent performers. I've never been a Jack Swagger fan. I was into him this week. I think it's just an interesting angle. It gets the fans going. I think Rusev is great, how he basically loses his shit when, like, the crowd starts chanting USA. I like it. It's something that I like what Rusev is bringing to the table. Swagger's really never done much for me. I'm into it now. The interesting thing about this angle, and with all respect to those who have passed on, look, we do a wrestling show. We're talking wrestling. And I know in the grand scheme of things, wrestling doesn't mean anything compared to the real world and real world tragedies. And all of us here involved with the Ken Reedy Show and doing the show, our thoughts, our well wishes really go out to the families that were affected by the shooting down of the Malaysian jetliner. You know, 298 families were affected by that, and it's just a horrible, horrible tragedy. And it's difficult to kind of transition from something like that, but it's something worth talking about that, you know, in wrestling, there's always been those themes. It's happened over and over again, you know, a foreign entity versus America. And they have thrown up Putin's picture over and over again on the Titantron while pushing Rusev. It's something that we're not going to get into speculating who did what or what have you, but, you know, you're hearing the investigations, you're reading the articles that Putin or Putin supporters or you know, pro-Russian separatists, we don't know. It was a ground-to-air missile that shot down this plane. Could Putin have been involved? Perhaps. But it's out there, and it's a perhaps. It's not a definitely no. So where does the WWE go with this angle? Do they change the booking in this match? Well, you know, we don't know. This is purely speculating. Could Rusev have been booked to win this match, and they're going to change it? You know, we need to have Rusev get beat tonight because in response to the tragedy. There are reports, you know, take it with a grain of salt, the dirt sheets out there, that they may drop this angle. Do they drop the angle? Who knows? Do they not drop the angle but stop posting Putin's pictures up? Or do they go forward with it? And it's an interesting topic to get into as far as, you know, wrestling goes. Because times have changed, Dave. And years ago, you know, there was the Iran hostage situation, and there was the Iron Sheik. And pro wrestling kind of exploited what was going on, and they used it to make Iron Sheik just one of the most hated heels ever. You know, they didn't back off it. There was this real-world event that they went with and used. And that's how wrestling was. But times have changed, and they kind of back off really pushing that button, like really kind of getting that visceral reaction. I mean, we all heard the stories. Iron Sheik has been stabbed a number of times. People legit hate him. Hated him. Now it's changed in wrestling sports entertainment, and it's scripted, and most people know that it's scripted, but do they continue the angle and kind of push it a little bit, or do they back off it? And, you know, Dave, I mean, you're the guy, you're great with, like, the history and looking back on things. There's a litany of stuff in the history of wrestling with the United States versus a foreign entity. Sometimes they use it, sometimes they don't. What do you think we're going to see tonight? I mean, and give us, like, I mean, you're great with, like, the dates and his, like, your take on the history of wrestling in United States versus whomever.
Well, you know, in regards to that, with the history of, you know, the United States versus a foreign entity in wrestling storyline, it's been a formula that has worked really well, if done properly, in the world of professional wrestling. You know, as far back as I can remember, like you mentioned, the Iran hostage crisis with the Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik had nuclear heat, like you said, stabbed, hated. That was back then during a time when wrestling, where, you know, wrestlers protected storylines. Back in the time when the good guys traveled with the good guys and the bad guys traveled with the bad guys so they wouldn't break kayfabe. And, you know, we will all remember, you know, the John Stossel ABC incident with Dr. David Schultz about, you know, breaking kayfabe and how that all turned out. So it's a different time now. Do I think that they go with this? I personally think that they don't move forward with this. And the only reason why I think that is they got enough, I wouldn't say heat, but they have enough people looking down on them right now just for the way they do their business in terms of the network and the amount of viewers they're trying to draw. And I think that the mainstream media and the public would look down on WWE thinking that they're trying to capitalize on a tragic situation politically with the United States to gain more viewers for their network. I think it would be a bad PR move if they went forward with it, because more than likely, you know, wrestling already gets a bad name as it is. And to add on top of that some tragedy that took place recently, and you integrate that into your storyline, it would only make for bad press. Other instances where this kind of stuff has taken place where it has taken a little bit of a nosedive, you go back to, you know, the Sergeant Slaughter storyline where he, you know, was an Iraqi sympathizer during the Iraq War, you know, with Saddam Hussein back in the early 90s. That garnered a lot of heat on Sergeant Slaughter. I mean, he's told stories where he's had threats, you know, of murder from his, you know, towards his family and himself. Another instance, Kurt Angle. You know, some people might not remember this because it wasn't as glorified, but after the September 11th attack, you know, WWE was very sensitive towards that, and they got rid of the Armageddon pay-per-view because of the name Armageddon and the potential for war taking place. And that pay-per-view in September, which was Unforgiven, was the main event was originally supposed to be Steve Austin and Kurt Angle for the title, and Austin was supposed to go over as the champion. Well, they wanted to give America and wrestling fans a happy ending, and they switched the booking to Kurt Angle, the American hero, winning the title in his hometown in Pittsburgh. And then one more instance that I can remember, we can go back to, is Muhammad Hassan, a guy who was, you know, catapulted to the main event in WWE. And originally he was supposed to win the World Heavyweight Championship from Batista on a SmackDown on the 4th of July from Batista's hometown in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. And they pulled the plug on that. And then not too long after that, the London bombings took place. And WWE had taped SmackDown a few days prior to that, and there was a storyline where Hassan and men that were not portrayed as terrorists but looked like they could have portrayed terrorists attacked The Undertaker and choked him with piano wire, and it made air, like the day after, or the day of the London bombings. And the time they were with UPN Network, which I think is a different network now, and they wanted to throw him off the air. They said, if you don't get rid of this character, we're going to throw you off the air. And they had to kill the character, the Muhammad Saad character, off television. And eventually he left the wrestling business altogether. So I think the storyline going forward with, you know, really exposing, you know, their love and appreciation for Vladimir Putin and the country of Russia. I think as of right now, they'll probably put a hold on that and stop that completely. A lot of people are speculating that they could drop the angle, but the gimmick altogether, Gablana and Rusev itself, and not publicly, you know, showing their appreciation towards the country of Russia, just, you know, her being a spokesman for this Bulgarian brute. And they might be able to get away with it in that sense. But because that she has garnered so much heat for you know, getting over, you know, the country of Russia and their love for representing Putin in Russia, it's going to be difficult to kind of keep her on TV. I wouldn't be surprised if they got her off TV and repackaged her completely, and they kept Rusev just as this, you know, monster of a guy on his own. Maybe you could even set him up and throw him as, you know, the authority's muscle and add him to the authority and kind of camouflage all that stuff that associated him with, you know, the Vladimir Putin and the Russian storyline and until, you know, this whole thing blows over. But I think for the best move for them right now, currently, considering the negative press that they get just for being a company as it is and promoting wrestling, they should probably not go forward with the storyline, which could alter tonight's finish. And like you, I was really looking forward to seeing how further they were going to go with this, because the reactions for Swagger and Coulter have been pretty positive as of late. And I think it's breathed fresh air into the Jack Swagger character and Zeb Coulter.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a sensitive topic, and it's such a horrific tragedy, and you bring up a really good point, Dave, about the press said, again, going back to how we opened the show and selling the network, the WWE right now doesn't really need negative press, and it's wrestling, and the media, mainstream media, they can find anything to rag on wrestling. They're going to do it. And if they can, and it doesn't even matter if it's true or not, they come out and they continue with the angle and continue to portray, these characters as evil and Putin as evil. Still in all, mainstream media will say, well, they're using the tragedy to sell pay-per-views, to get ratings, to sell their networks. So it is a difficult situation for the WWE to be in. And it's tough. It's a really good character. Lana's great. And she's great at garnering heat. I like everything I've seen out of Rusev. I really hope they figure out a way to, kind of evolve the character, and maybe you don't flash Putin's face on the Titantron. Do you start to embrace more of the fact that Rusev's Bulgarian and stop talking about Russia? I don't know. I don't know where they go. I just really hope they don't ditch it altogether. Maybe at some point she needs to be repackaged, but I don't think now's the time. I like what she's doing. I like everything about this angle. You just wonder how it's going to perhaps change tonight. It's not, in the grand scheme of things, it's not the most important thing in the world. We get it, that it's pro wrestling, but we are a pro wrestling show, and we talk about how this is going to affect this angle. It's really interesting to speculate on where they're going to go with it. I don't know. I can't even begin to predict what they do with this character. Maybe embrace the Bulgarian heritage a little bit more. Maybe tonight you have Swagger and Coulter kind of cheat and win or do something slightly underhanded and win. And she comes out tomorrow night on Raw ripping on America, but doesn't expound on the virtues of Russia and just says typical Americans, typical Americans, typical Americans, but doesn't say, Russia's better. Who knows? It's a tough situation creatively because it's a character that's been working really, really, really solid mid-card storytelling. And as we do when we get into these pay-per-views, we do these pay-per-view pre-shows, and it's been funny, man. You know, I'm enjoying doing this show tonight because it's just, you know, we're at WrestleMania, and every pay-per-view since then, it just seems like one of us had a conflict, like something was going on. Like, just it seemed like if either one of us had something to do on a Sunday on a given month, it was a Sunday evening of a pay-per-view. So we're back. It's been a while since we've done the pregame shows for the pay-per-view. And when we do these shows, we like to get into predictions. And because of the Malaysian tragedy, I am going to speculate right here that I would believe, and I would have said beforehand, if wishful thinking this tragedy did not happen, that I would have sat here and said that Rusev, in some way, shape, or form, is going to come away from this match victorious. That would have been my prediction beforehand. I am going to backtrack on that, and because of everything that's happened in the world, I am going to put it out there that I think the WWE is going to kind of feel like that we need a feel-good moment as far as America. You know, hopefully they figure out a way for Rusev to look strong coming out of it. Hopefully, I think it's got a lot of potential to be a really good match. I really like, for a big man, what we've seen out of Rusev. But I'm going to go with Swagger tonight with the victory. I think Swagger's going to win Rusev's first loss tonight. And we're going to see Old Glory aloft after the match. And we're just going to have a, you know, old school, traditional, feel-good, patriotic moment at the end of this match. So as we start with our predictions here, Dave, I'm going with Swagger to win the match. What do you think?
You know, I can understand why you would go that route. I would kind of agree with you, but I think because of the investment that WWE has put into this Rusev character and the, you know, the time and the, and I don't think he's going to lose tonight, but I don't think he's going to win. I don't think we're going to get that feel-good moment between the two. I mean, we may get a glimpse of the feel-good moment, but I think we might see some sort of double count out or double disqualification or something like that to protect Rusev and this winning streak that they have written for him as of late since he's debuted. And I think, you know, it would hurt the momentum that Swagger has if he were to lose. I think it would hurt the momentum that Rusev has had if he were to lose. I think we see some sort of double disqualification, some sort of wacky finish that kind of protects both guys. And the interesting thing is to see where they would go after tonight. I think, you know, going and switching things up a bit and maybe putting a loss in Rusev and the character itself and this undefeated streak might hurt him down the line for something that, you know, it could be a short-term issue politically. I mean, I think that they're still going to try and protect him at the same time, shy away from the whole Russian sympathizer thing. And I think we're going to see, like I said, double count-out, double DQ, or a draw or something like that to take place between the two of them, so that it protects both guys.
Interesting. You know, it's funny because we do these shows and we do the pregame, and the past few pregame shows we've done, they've been a borderline love fest where we've agreed way too much. And right off the bat, we put out a prediction, and I'm going with Swagger and you're going with a no decision. So it could be an interesting show tonight, but we're differing right off the bat.
Yes, you know, I was thinking about that too, because normally we're really spot on, the two of us, when it comes to predictions. But I was, you know, going back and thinking to myself, they can't just kill this character like that and the momentum that it's had. And, you know, I would think that they would learn from their mistakes, similar to what they did with the Muhammad Hassan character. I mean, like I said, UPN wanted to throw WWE off the air, and they said get rid of the character. And I think that, you know, getting rid of the character was the right thing at that time. At the same time, they had worked so hard to build him up to be a credible contender and a threat for the title over the past, you know, 6 to 8 months prior to that, then I think if they were to just kill off Rusev like that this early on, I think, moving forward, no matter what you did with him, no matter what you did with him, you would lose that momentum completely by him losing to Swagger tonight because of something that took place politically and in the real world outside of WWE.
Interesting stuff, nonetheless, and interesting how, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, it started off and I was really enjoying the angle, and, you know, with this tragedy, it just becomes so much more heated and relevant. So very curious to see how the WWE handles it. And like I said a couple times, again, all of us here involved with the show, to everyone affected by the Malaysian tragedy, really our thoughts go out to all the families affected. Just a horrible, horrible tragedy. And make that smooth transition into talking about wrestling again. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. We got a bunch of really good matches, and we're kind of breaking it down for you tonight on a pay-per-view Sunday, WWE Battleground. And let's go out to the phones, because we do have Mike on the line. Mike, are you there? How you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Doing all right. What do you got for us?
All right, I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view tonight. You were saying it's a throwaway pay-per-view. I say it's a battleground. I say that the WWE needs to do what they have to do to get subscribers. I love the network. For me, you know, I've been reliving, you know, my old glory days of watching wrestling when I was a kid and discovering some new stuff, and I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be happier with the network. And I think, you know, I agree with you. I think this pay-per-view is really shaping up. You know, in years past, these pay-per-views between the four majors could have been a throwaway. I think the WWE has done a really nice job of what we're going to see tonight. And I'm really looking forward to it. I can't lie. I don't think there's really, as far as the way they're booked, I don't think there's a bad match on the card. I think it's a very entertaining card. You know, we talked a lot about Swagger and Rusev. What are your thoughts on that angle, and what do you think is going to happen tonight with them?
Well, now, let me ask you guys a question, because I'm a little confused about this. Didn't Rusev lose to Roman Reigns on SmackDown?
It was a disqualification loss, but he has never been pinned.
No, I know, but still, it's still a loss. And it's still a loss, and in my estimation, if I was them, I wouldn't have done that. When you're building a character like him to go up against Roman Reigns, and you want Roman Reigns, you know, to be the animal, the new force, and you want him to be indestructible, you don't want your character to lose by disqualification. Because If you guys remember years ago, Tatanka had a great winning streak. How did he lose? By a count out outside outside interference from Ludwig Vorger, and Yokozuna. So with that whole situation there, and then after that, the character of Tatanka was never the same. I mean, he was a big part of WWE, but he was just never the same once his undefeated streak lost.
Here's the thing: Rusev's disqualification loss a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown was due to outside interference beyond his control from Randy Orton. So it doesn't hurt him and hurt standing it with his character because
no,
it
but
wasn't
I'm saying I wouldn't have done it. I know it was. I know it was Randy Orton, but I wouldn't have done
I know, but
it. I wouldn't have had
him.
It done.
But it doesn't hurt him, though.
I wouldn't have had it done.
Well, then what's the point you're making, though?
What happened?
I'm trying to understand, what's the point that you're making with that?
I'm just going with it on, I'm not saying anything against you about it, I'm just... My point was I wouldn't have had them do that. That's my point, if it was me. I wouldn't have had them do that. I wouldn't have Randy Orton do that. I wouldn't have had them do that. I would have waited until after the match is over or whatever. But I get why WWE was doing that. I mean, listen, I think it's a little too soon to be seeing Roman Reigns versus Rusev. But that's my opinion. I mean, what do you think, Ken? Dave? I know, Dave, you have an opinion on it. Ken, what do you think?
About Rusev and Roman Reigns?
No, about Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon dancing around the room. Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, it's I get what you're saying, but I don't think it really hurt the Rusev character at all. I mean, you know, it's a matter of opinion. Like, if you were the promoter, you wouldn't have done it. I don't know if I would or wouldn't have it. Just it, but I gotta say, I agree with Dave. I don't think it necessarily hurt the character. I think the character is as strong as it's ever been going into the pay-per-view tonight. But what I want to know from you, I mean, aside from that, you know, and I think the character's working. I mean, what do you think we're going to see tonight when Rusev gets in the ring with Swagger?
I think that Swagger's going to beat him. I think that you're right. I go with Ken on this because I don't see them going with a double disqualification. Or you never know. They could do that. I mean, there have been times where you don't know which way WWE is going. Me personally, I think that Swagger's going to win. I don't know how, but I think he is. I think they're just going to let him go over and make it, like you said, you know, because they've been trying to get these, they've been trying to make anybody these, you know, U.S. characters. Hell, they were doing it with Big E Langston and, United States of America. I think Jack Swagger's going to win tonight.
I'm curious, like, as we go into the pay-per-view, and you sound pretty excited. You're looking forward to it.
I'm ready to go.
Do you look at this pay-per-view now, and you know, there's a lot of things that can happen, but do you have a match that you think is potentially a show stealer?
Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. We're going to see, it's going to be a show stealer. I honestly think the WWE did a great job from top to bottom the way they booked this card. I think Naomi versus Cameron should have happened on the pregame show. That match is going to be good. There's no more Funkadactyls. You know, after Brutus Clay and Sweet Tea or whatever the heck he's doing now, he's on next NXT. So, you know, I think that's going to be good top to bottom. I'm looking forward to the 20-man over-the-top battle royal for the Intercontinental Championship. In my opinion, I know who I want. I want Dolph Ziggler to win again. I doubt that'll happen, but I want him to come and start getting up again. I think that Dolph Ziggler is just, he's good. It's just they need to do some more with him.
I would agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, we were on the bandwagon of Dolph Ziggler pretty early on. You know, a guy who bad luck. I mean, bad luck derailed his ride to the top, and really hoping that I'd like to see Ziggler win, and I'm really hoping that Miz doesn't.
And by the way, to go back, what Dave said, it was kind of funny before when you guys were talking about kayfabe, Dave, and you were telling the story about what happened with Dave Schultz and Dan and Dr. Dave and all those. You know, it's kind of funny how Iron Sheik and Hacksaw, ho, Jim Duggan, they would never be caught. You know, they would never do anything stupid like that to be riding in a car and get pulled over and break kayfabe. I don't think those two would ever do that. Sarcastic, we all know they did it. You read Hacksaw Jim Duggan's book, I mean, that's been around for years. But it's just so funny that they said Hitman said they fired both of them, and then obviously we know they brought Duggan back. What did you guys think about that when you heard that?
I was like, you know, I'm trying to remember the year it happened, but I guess I was still.
It happened in 87.
87. So I was still fairly naive to like it being completely scripted, and I just remember hearing the story and just being like, what? They hate each other. And it was kind of, I mean, that was honestly, that was like one of those moments for me that it's almost like, you know, when you find out there's no Santa Claus, It was that was like the defining moment where it's like, all right, I guess it's completely scripted.
I found out there was no Santa Claus. Bobby Heenan let the cat out of the bag on a recent on an edition of Primetime Wrestling, and then he got his butt whipped by Roddy Piper. He said, "I want to tell you something, kids. Come to the screen. There is no Santa Claus." I talked to a Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla Monsoon called him an ingrate. He called him all kinds of names. But the other thing that I don't like about when we talk about wrestling is when people come up to me and they tell me about the negatives. I mean, listen, I'm not, you know, oh, look what happened to your wrestler. Oh, look what happened to this guy. We know. You know, it's like with them with TV stars. Oh, you know, they believe in a character. And then you say, hey, that guy got arrested again, or that guy got arrested. They get upset. I mean, when I was a kid, I heard the stupidest rumors. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like people, I think people just made it up to try to piss me off or something. They would say the dumbest things. But now tonight, like I said on Monday night, the key is Battleground. We have some great matches and great stuff that has to be set. The championship match, obviously, we know what the plan C is. All right, we're not stupid. I know all three of us and your audience knows that plan C is Brock Lesnar. We know that. Okay. Now you guys were talking about Sting. Did you both or one of you happen to catch the interview with Triple H talking to Michael Cole about Sting?
I
heard about it.
What happened, Dave?
I heard about it. How it's been very tongue in cheek and how they've kind of mentioned Sting. They mentioned Sting's name in the interview, and Triple H kind of threw a few jabs at Sting. I think it's a foregone conclusion. He's signed some form of a deal to be on WWE television. It's just a matter of when
Sting's
that's going to happen.
Sting is going to wrestle for the company. Sting is going to wrestle for WWE.
I believe it will happen at some point. I'm not holding out hope that it'll happen tomorrow, but you know, they wouldn't throw his name out there on TV, especially you know in character like the Triple H character has. If they're not going to use them on TV in some form or fashion.
Well, I think going on to that case, it was like they were talking about Sting, you know, with the game. And who wouldn't want to see Sting versus, you know, he named some wrestlers who wouldn't want to see it. And then he said, hey, you know, Michael Cole asked him, do you ever think we'll see Sting in the WWE ring? And Triple H talked about, hey, nobody thought we'd ever see Bruno back. And no one ever thought we'd see the Warrior back. And he said, I learned in this business never to say never. And you know what? Having Sting, hey, I like to see Sting versus Bray Wyatt. I would love to see that match. I would love to see it, you know. Because, you know, somebody today, we were talking about it, and they asked me if I thought The Undertaker was going to wrestle Sting. I don't know. Would you guys want to see Undertaker versus Sting?
It's funny, and Mike, we're going to have to go. Thanks for the call, but listen.
I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Take it easy. Enjoy the pay-per-view.
All right,
tonight.
Brother.
And Mike brings up a good question. I mean, it's funny, man. I've never been a big Sting fan, you know, and I guess that's, you know, I don't think we'll see him tonight on the pay-per-view. You know, I understand his significance as far as his place in wrestling history. You know, I'm not a big fan, but I know there are a lot of people that are big Sting fans. I just think when it comes to The Undertaker that you will have a tremendous build-up, tremendous storytelling, very entertaining stuff, and the match will be crap. With all due respect to both those guys, as much as I'd love to see the story told, I have my doubts that those two in the ring could deliver. To me, when you talk about a Bray Wyatt, a younger guy, you know, maybe he's a guy that can carry Sting, and then that's a match that a vet on his way out can help continue to put over a new character. That's something that I think is makes a little bit more sense. But again, I think, you know, no doubt. I would say, you know, whether it's WrestleMania, or any other, whenever it would occur, the lead-in for a couple months setting up Sting versus Taker would be amazing. I just feel like the match wouldn't deliver. Your thoughts on Sting, Dave?
I mean, we've beaten this horse to death for a long time now on this show in regards to him and Undertaker. It's been beaten to death, you know, everywhere in media in the wrestling world. I do think that I do agree with you 100%. The build-up, tremendous. The match would fall completely flat, and it would, I just think with, you know, we don't even know if Undertaker's going to come back. I mean, it's been talked about that he was so banged up after, you know, Lesnar and in New Orleans that he might be done completely. As cool as it would be to see the build-up towards it, I think it would be a very disappointing match. You know, like I said, with all due respect to the both individuals, I just don't think that bell-to-bell in the ring, it's going to be anything spectacular. Unless you were to book them in a tag match against the entire Wyatt family and kind of have everybody's dream come true in all one match, maybe that would make much more sense. I don't know. Maybe some sort of passing of the torch to Bray Wyatt and the entire Wyatt family from Sting and Undertaker together. I don't know. Who knows? But whatever Sting does, it's gonna. I truly believe it's gonna have some sort of impact, not only on, you know, the WWE network itself, the video game, but the talents that he's gonna be involved with and working with in WWE. He has said that he's always wanted to work for the McMahon. He's always wanted to do something with Undertaker. He may get his wish on one end, but whatever he does, it's gonna mean something, and it's gonna put the exclamation point on his career, from what I'm hearing. That, you know, hopefully after that, he's done.
Yeah, let's just put that to rest right now. I mean, until we see Sting, you know, who knows how they're going to use him. I wouldn't venture to guess or predict that we're going to see a Sting tonight, but who knows? I mean, maybe that's something else they pull out of the woodwork to kind of sell this pay-per-view and sell the network that, you know, you got to watch every pay-per-view because look what happened. Sting showed up and did this. Who knows? I wouldn't bet money on Sting showing up tonight, but who knows what's going to happen. It's just, you know, I mean, it happens to all of us. You get older, and I think we'll see Sting in a match, but, hopefully it's with the right opponent because the storytelling's going to be great moving in, but I don't know if they can deliver in the ring. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Let's go back out to the phones. We got Tony on the line. Tony, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Doing all right. What do you got for us? What are your thoughts on Battleground tonight?
I think overall this should be a pretty good show. This should be a really entertaining show. I don't know if you've talked about it yet, but the one I'm looking forward to most is the tag title, you know, because it's two out of three falls. I haven't done that, you know, we haven't seen a two out of three falls match in some time. So, I like that step, and I think Harper and Rowan, you know, win the belts this time. I think they kind of put the belts on them tonight.
I'm looking forward to that match too, and I think it's cool that like you're thinking that because I that's what's awesome about this pay-per-view, that you know there are different matches I think fans can look at and think, oh, this could potentially steal the show. This could potentially steal the show. There's a number of matches that you look at this pay-per-view and think, you know, that could be the one that's the show stealer, and who knows, it might be something that you're just not expecting. I think it's going to be a very entertaining match. It's one of like coin flip, man. I mean, it's that's one I'm I don't know. It's kind of tough for me to predict. I'm really feeling like 50-50 on those guys. You know, who's going to win the tag belt? But I'm right there with you. Two out of three falls. These guys work well together. There's some good in ring chemistry. They've told a good story as of late, and I'm looking forward to that match as well. See what these guys do in a two out of three falls. What do you think, Dave?
It's funny you mentioned that, Tony, because during, you know, our little pre-show meeting Ken and I have, I mentioned I was really looking forward to that match because of the fact that it's a traditional two out of three falls match. It brought that, like, old-school tag team wrestling flavor back. Lately, in recent years, two out of three fall matches have been glorified gimmick matches, you know, or three stages of hell matches with different gimmicks in each fall. It's going to be a classic two out of three falls tag team wrestling match. It reminds me of, you know, two out of three falls matches I've seen with, you know, the Hart Foundation and the Brainbusters, or the the Demolition and the Rockers, and, you know, just it brings me back to, like, tag team wrestling that I used to watch when I was a kid. So it's pretty funny that you mentioned that, because I was on the same wavelength that you were. And as far as the prediction goes for that match, I'm going to go with the Usos. I think the Usos are going to win that match. I think that they're going to retain the titles and keep moving forward with this reign. I don't think the Wyatt family needs the belts. I think that they're over enough where they don't need championships. I think the Usos will move on further, and I think after the Wyatt is when they'll eventually lose the belt. To whom? Who knows?
Okay, Tony, what else are you looking forward to in the pay-per-view?
The battle royal, it should be interesting. I'm thinking Sheamus takes that, since they've been, talking about unifying the belts. I'm thinking, he might take it. Originally, I thought Cesaro was going to win it, but ever since they started talking about, unifying the belts and everything, I don't know. I think it might go with Sheamus. And plus, it's like, now that, with Brock coming back and, that they've pulled Heyman away from Cesaro, which, I don't know why, just because Brock's back at it. But I don't know. I kind of think Cesaro's kind of been getting a little de-pushed the last few weeks, without Heyman there, without Heyman with him. But, because originally I thought, okay, it's no-brainer. He's going to win the Battle Royal. But now that, like I said, they've been saying they're going to unify, or Sheamus is saying he's going to unify the two secondary titles, I'm thinking they might have him win it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, and we've talked about on the show about unifying those belts, and we would love to see these mid-card belts mean a little bit more, and maybe unifying them would be the way to go. I agree with you, and as much as we've talked about how the setup for this pay-per-view has been really solid, I kind of like the idea of Lesnar and Cesaro and Heyman being, a kind of a mini faction. I totally am right there with you. We're all on board. I mean, we're on the Cesaro bandwagon on this show. And it seems like that, not that they totally squashed him or buried him, but they're pumping the brakes a little bit. They're pumping the brakes a little bit with Cesaro. And I don't totally know why. I mean, I get it. We're hearing the rumors about Brock coming back, and I think that's going to be good. And there isn't going to be a more hated heel in the business than the guy who ended the streak, and that'll be entertaining. And I get all that. I just think that a guy like Cesaro is so talented. He only could have gained from being in a mini faction, being managed by Heyman and having Lesnar and Cesaro together. Maybe you'd put them together in a tag team match at some point. I just think it could have worked, and I don't know what exactly they're doing. And I hope it's not the decline of Cesaro, but I would agree with you. If I had to point my finger at something negative, it would be that they're pumping the brakes a bit on Cesaro. What do you think, Dave?
I think they are too. From what I understand, it's not just necessarily Lesnar they're pumping the brakes, with the Cesaro push. It's Roman Reigns as well. They want to, turn Cesaro into a top main event babyface down the line. And right now, they've got to put more focus on Reigns. That doesn't necessarily mean Cesaro is going to lose any kind of steam whatsoever. I think it's kind of good for him in a sense, and it will make sense further down the line that right now they kind of have separated him from Heyman without them actually splitting up. Now Heyman's going to focus more of his time on Lesnar currently, and I think that they'll allude to that when they do decide to eventually pull the trigger and give Cesaro a full-length push, that Heyman put more of his focus on Lesnar instead of the future, which is Cesaro, and that will lead to the tension between Cesaro and Heyman and Cesaro and Lesnar, which could eventually lead to a match between the two. So I think it's okay right now, and I'm okay with it. As long as he's not getting buried on TV and losing to Heath Slater every week, I'll be pretty good with the steady pace that they have Cesaro at right now.
All right, yeah, Ken.
I was saying, anything else? Before I let you go, I got to know what are your thoughts on the championship match? Who do you think walks out with the gold tonight?
Well, originally, I mean, I thought there was going to be Cena, but I've heard that, you know, he's going to be, he won't be at Raw for like the next few weeks. So they, you never know, they might do the title change and pull the trigger and go with Roman Reigns. You know, since Cena won't be at Raw the next few weeks, and plus Cena versus Lesnar at SummerSlam doesn't need the belt anyway, because that's a main event itself. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe we see Reigns get the belt tonight.
Wow, Tony going out on a limb there. Do we see Roman Reigns with his first championship run starting this evening? Who knows? That would be kind of cool. I don't know. You know, this part. I mean, I love Reigns. Got to say, I don't know if he's ready for it, but yeah, it's interesting with the speculation right now on where John Cena is going to be the next few weeks. Not where, more specifically, where he's not going to be. Does that affect the booking of this championship match? Tony, thanks a lot for the call, and give us a call tomorrow night. Let us know what you thought of the pay-per-view.
All right, talk to you tomorrow night.
So let's get back into it. You know, Dave, as I'm sitting here thinking about it and listening to your points, and it's weird, man. Like, we talk about the tag title match, and I like where your head is at. I'm going to agree with you on that prediction. I'm going to say the Usos retain. You know, I think the Usos, they've done a lot. They've done a good job at building the Usos and building the Usos as a tag team, you know, which they haven't done a lot of in recent years. But this is a bona fide tag team. These guys are brothers. And the Wyatt family, headed up by Bray, is just, they don't need the belts. Not saying they might not get the belts down the road a piece. I like the fact they've been separating the Wyatts a little bit more lately. So I dig the tag team angle with Rowan and Harper. But I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with the Usos winning or retaining the championship. It should be a very entertaining matchup. And as we go through this card and we look at things, you know, again, stuff that like really jumps out at me. You know, traditional, very traditional storytelling, like we touched on a little earlier. The ladies, Cameron, Naomi, best friends, tag team, jealousy, tag team breaks up, they hate each other, they wrestle. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what the ladies, two ladies matches tonight, and I'm kind of looking forward to it. I like the storytelling there, at least with Cameron and Naomi. You know, I don't really, you know, when I look at Cameron and Naomi, I like a lot what I see out of Naomi as a wrestler. I think she's great. I think she's got a lot of potential to go far in the ladies division. I'm not going to say I feel the same way about Cameron. So I don't know what we're going to get as far as a wrestling match, but I think it's going to be entertaining. I'm optimistic that this match is going to be entertaining. I think the WWE has got high hopes for Naomi, and we're going to see Naomi come out of this victorious. But I think it should be entertaining. And I also really think that AJ Lee and Paige is going to be a very entertaining matchup. I'm enjoying the storytelling. It's an interesting take on their characters, and they're kind of tapping into, which I think it's more good storytelling. And we all know, no disrespect to the females who might be listening, but we all know those girls that are friends with each other, but kind of not really, and they're always biting their tongue when they're in each other's company, and they're, you know, sweet, but you know they just kind of don't like each other, and it's working with the two of them. I mean, this is not something, look, if they're still doing this 2 months down the road, it's going to be terrible. But right now, I'm enjoying it. I think AJ Lee retains the title, but I don't think this story is over. I would think at some point, maybe tonight, maybe down the road a little bit, we're going to see the blow-up. We're going to see AJ Lee continue to be champion, and we're going to see Paige absolutely lose it, and then the quote-unquote friendship is going to be severed. It's interesting storytelling. So I think AJ Lee retains. I think they still remain frenemies coming at it tonight, but we're heading towards a big blow up from Paige. But I'm looking at AJ Lee and Naomi in the female matches. Your thoughts on not only what we're going to see out of the female matches tonight, but the storytelling leading up to these matches.
The storytelling's been pretty solid. I mean, they really haven't given a whole lot of time to Cameron and Naomi, but I think the outcome of that match is going to be based on how they want it to be portrayed for the Total Divas reality show, because from what I'm hearing, this storyline now is going to be a part of the Total Divas Season 3 that's coming up. So I would not be surprised, and as much as it pains me to say this, I would not be surprised if Cameron were to come out the victor of this match. That's not my prediction, though. I think Naomi will get the win because I think that they have plans for her. She's a very athletic girl. She's one of the better, you know, girls on the roster. And, you know, Cameron really doesn't do anything for me on Total Divas or in WWE in general. So I believe that I agree with you, she'll come out the winner, and that'll be the end of that. Both will move on to, you know, other things. As far as Paige and AJ goes, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that that's going to be, it should be a good women's match. The story has been solid over the past several, you know, weeks since AJ has returned. However, I do agree also that we won't see the blow-up take place just yet between, you know, Paige and AJ. I think they're going to let this one simmer and burn. It would not surprise me if we see this maybe happen at SummerSlam. I agree. AJ wins tonight, and both girls are kind of on the same page. However, I think, and, you know, not to go too far in the predictions, but I do believe that maybe we'll see the two of them tag up at SummerSlam against the new team of Summer Rae and Layla, which is, you know, WWE's new version of Lay Cool, and then that's when we'll see Paige blow up at AJ, and then we'll get the rubber match, or the rematch, I should say, between the three of them, or the two of them, excuse me, at Night of Champions in September.
Yeah, well, thank God, you know, finally, you know, we differed initially, but now we're back on track. The love fest has taken hold. We're agreeing now on the predictions. So we differ on one, but it's kind of cool, you know. I mean, look, we just want to see good matches, and the storytelling has been decent, and you got two female matches that are not necessarily throwaway matches, that are not necessarily I'm just going to go to the bathroom. They got potential to be good matches, and if not great matches, potential to facilitate interesting storylines. So good for the ladies. You know what? If the Total Divas show has caused them to, you know, give a little bit more of the storytelling, make the matches matter a little bit more, then good for Total Divas. I mean, I think it's good for wrestling fans for these storylines to matter and for the women matches, female matches, not to be purely throwaway matches. You know, Tony kind of hit on it. And again, as we look at the card, a lot of potential to be very entertaining. Interesting landscape there in the WWE Intercontinental Championship 20-man Battle Royal. Title is vacant for the snake-bitten Wade Barrett, who just can't seem to stay healthy. When things start moving his direction, things all of a sudden go wrong, and we're you know, Dave and I here are still hoping that Wade finally is able to stay healthy for a chunk of time and we finally see him realize his full potential. Interesting crop of competitors in this Battle Royal. You know, before we get into the predictions of the Battle Royal, I got to put something out there. And, we have the show chat going on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/TheKenReedyShow. And, you know, our friend Steve was on there, and he predicted that Miz is going to win the Intercontinental Championship. Miz! And if you've listened to the show enough, you know that not the biggest Miz fan here. But I'm going to say something here, and it's going to kind of be a little bit supportive of Miz. I know, shocking. But I got to say, you know, the whole moneymaker thing is kind of an obnoxious heel kind of thing that, you know, he's playing up this movie star thing and you know, it's kind of cheesy, but I kind of get it, and it kind of works. It's kind of an obnoxious thing. Don't hit the moneymaker. This is a gimmick now where we've turned Miz heel. He's doing this arrogant thing. I get it. Miz could really benefit from better commentating. I swear, the other night, I mean, it was one of those, if you were playing a drinking game watching Monday Night Raw and you had to do a shot every time one of the commentators said moneymaker, you would have been in an ambulance with alcohol poisoning in that, just in that match. It was horrible. And all I was thinking was like, man, you know, I was getting annoyed with it, and I found that visceral, you know, venom that just rises up in me when I start thinking about The Miz. And it was starting to take over my being, that, you know, and then I was able to pull myself back a little bit and look at it objectively, and I started thinking, you know, if there was someone else on commentary, someone else that was able to kind of help the character along a little bit and not just repeat Moneymaker over and over again, you know, almost like spoon-feeding. This is Miz's new gimmick, so we're just going to say it over and over again so you get it. I think it could have worked better. I think it's something that if they do it the right way, I can envision T-shirts with Moneymaker. Don't hit the Moneymaker. It could be something that's marketable. He needs to get a little bit better in the ring, but I digress. I just thought the commentating did Miz a bit of a disservice in this new gimmick. He's still the same old Miz in the ring. I'm kind of hoping he doesn't win the title. It wouldn't shock me if he did, but you know, your thoughts on this moneymaker thing they're doing now at Miz, Dave?
It's, you know what? It's interesting. I kind of like it, and the only reason why I like it is because from what I've been hearing, how he has tried to portray this character, it's been very reminiscent of Andy Kaufman, and how Kaufman was, you know, in his feud with Jerry Lawler, and how he generated heat by being a star from Hollywood, and you know, from Hollywood, he doesn't interact with these kind of people, you know, wrestling fans from Memphis, Tennessee, like that kind of heat. When, you know, Miz is a real student of the game. As much as, you know, we don't care for him, you know, when we talk about him on this show and the character that he portrays, and just his overall aura of him, help have respect for the guy that he's really trying to hone his craft by going that far back to Andy Kaufman. It also is very reminiscent of a storyline that WWE did back in 92 with Rick the Model Martel and Shawn Michaels, when Martel was kind of going after Shawn Michaels' valet, Sensational Sherry. The two had a beef, and they were such pretty boys and very arrogant and cocky about themselves that they had a match at SummerSlam where the rule was you're not allowed to hit each other in the face, the moneymaker. So it's kind of very reminiscent of things from the past, and I like when they kind of turn the clock back a little bit and make those kind of references. And I think, honestly, it would not surprise me if Steve's right, that Miz walks out the Intercontinental Champion. You've got this movie coming out. He could benefit from something like this, a renewed push with this Hollywood heel kind of character. I think it could happen. That's not my prediction, though, but I think it could happen, that the Miz could end up leaving tonight's pay-per-view the new Intercontinental Champion, and maybe adding some more life to the mid-card and to those mid-card championships that wrestling fans have been so desperately wanting for a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, man. I mean, you know, and it's funny. I mean, you got me. You softened me a bit. I didn't really even think of the Kaufman thing, but yeah, if he's referencing Kaufman, I got to kind of give him a little bit of respect. Honestly, I think the Kaufman thing is, a lot of wrestling fans don't even know about that angle, a very underrated angle that occurred years ago, a great angle. Fine. I'll come around. I do think, though, like with as much as this angle could work, the commentating killed me with it. It really did, just, enough with the moneymaker. If you want, like, let Miz cut a promo. I'll admit he's not a bad talker. Let him cut a promo and do his moneymaker thing and do, you know, I'm a star from Hollywood and all that other stuff. Just, The commentating really was getting under my skin during that match. Just it was too much with the Moneymaker over and over again. And I'm going to agree with you. I think that it's very possible that Miz walks out with the championship belt. But I'm going to go out there. I'm going to kind of agree with the speculation that it's going to be Sheamus. Former main eventer. Holding that secondary title, I'm going to say that he unifies it. We're finally going to see those two belts come together. Hopefully, they go to one belt. But I'm going to go out on a limb. But, it's interesting when you look at the field, man, and this is another – and when you're a wrestling fan and you have difficulty predicting, it's a good thing. If you've watched wrestling for decades and you have trouble predicting – that's a good thing. I mean, honestly, Del Rio, Big E, Cesaro, Ziggler, even Kofi, Sheamus, Miz, these are all guys that would not shock me to come out of this with the championship. And then, you look at other guys in this match, could they – perhaps use it to help facilitate some. Do we get a dark horse? Do we get a resurgence of a Sin Cara and they try to do something with him? Do they do this for Heath Slater and just to give him something and he winds up somehow finagling and weaseling his way through the Battle Royal and wins something? A guy who's floundering since 3MB was mostly fired. So I think it's a really interesting battle royal. I think there's a lot of guys you can make the case for winning it. But for me, and it's not a solid prediction because there's a lot of guys that I think could come out, but I'm going to go with Sheamus. Your thoughts?
There are a lot. You can make a case for a lot of guys. I mean, Kofi's gotten a few solid wins over Cesaro the past few weeks. Cesaro, another name that could, use this championship as to catapult him even further. He could win the Battle Royal. Sheamus, he's talked about wanting to unify the belts. He seems to be the heavy favorite. Ziggler's gotten some good play recently, getting some wins. Miz, hell, even Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas has been, they've been really trying to amp up him and make him into a major player. He could end up winning tonight's Battleground Battle Royal. But one guy in particular that I think that I'm going to go with for my prediction, and the reason why is he was virtually, disappeared from WWE television storylines for quite a while since he lost the World Heavyweight title to John Cena in the fall, and now he's picked up some pretty big wins, and they've really shown some strength in his character, is Alberto Del Rio. I think Del Rio could use, the Intercontinental Championship to kind of renew his push and to really, move him up the ladder in WWE. I said this back in December when we talked about the unification of the WWE and the World Heavyweight title. It would take mid-card championships like the Intercontinental Championship and like the United States Championship and really add credibility if you took a crowded main event scene that WWE has and take some of those guys like a Sheamus, like a Ziggler, like Alberto Del Rio, and have them compete for those titles. Sheamus, I'm not saying he's brought credibility back to the United States Championship, but he's brought a little bit of relevance to it, and I think maybe Del Rio can do the same thing for the Intercontinental title now that, Bad News Barrett has been, stripped of the championship, which apparently he'll be there tonight. So I have a feeling that, whatever Barrett does and he hands over the title, somebody's going to kind of get in his way and maybe, throw a jab at him and talk about his injury. And I think whoever does that, that's the early indication that that person's going to win the Intercontinental Championship Battle Royal. So I'm going with Del Rio.
And again, I can't argue with you. I mean, it's such a, such a good crop of people that you could see whether it's, it's like one of those things. It's either are they going to give it to someone to continue to help to elevate that championship, or are they going to give it to someone where the championship can elevate that competitor? And it's an interesting crop. I'm curious, Dave, and you brought him up, and he's related to Bray Wyatt. A lot of hype coming in. I gotta be honest, the Bo Dallas character, it's not doing it for me yet. And I want to like him. I really do. I want to like him. I want to be a fan. You know, at times, I'll be honest, I'll chuckle, you know, with some of his belief stuff. But it's still not resonating with me. I'm still not completely into it. And I, you know, maybe, I mean, they seem pretty high on him. They seem like they want to push him. You know, do they give him the IC title to kind of help facilitate him and move him up the ladder? Perhaps. I just got to say, like, it's not working it's for me right now as a fan.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, and in the beginning, it's kind of there for me. It's not, I'm not 100% all the way there with the character. Like I chuckle at some of the things that he says, and you know the interactions that he has. Like I said a while ago, and it's funny. You know, Bo Dallas was recently interviewed, and he talked about Kurt Angle being an early inspiration for the cheesy, over the top kind of, you know, mannerisms and characteristics. And I said that from the get-go with his character, that it was reminiscent of, you know, Kurt Angle. I think he's catching on with the audience, in my opinion. And the reason why I say that is that he's catching on so well that WWE Creative is trying to get him to, you know, garner more heel heat by doing some things that the people wouldn't necessarily like a lovable character like El Torito from the Los Matadors. They had him in a match with him. They body slammed him. He beat Torito like he beat The Rock, and he made a big spectacle of it. So I kind of like where they're going with it. It just depends on how long it's going to be. If it drags out for another 6 months that he's, you know, 34 and Bo or whatever the, you know, whatever his win streak is, then it's going to get a little old. But some like the normal formula WWE has with guys, they kind of put them through winning streaks, like Rusev's going through, Adam Rose has gone through one of these two. There needs to be substance with this storyline, with Bo eventually, with a certain wrestler. So hopefully that happens relatively soon. But maybe the Intercontinental Championship will do that for him.
Yeah, maybe, and that's why, you know, when you go into this matchup, it's, you know, you can make a case for a lot of different people winning that championship match, and maybe it is him, and you know, it should be a really fun match. And again, we keep going back to that same theme tonight. It's got a lot of potential to be a lot of fun. Battle Royals are fun. I think there's certain guys you look at that I'd be shocked. I mean, I'd be shocked if Great Khali came out, which is amazing that he's like the biggest guy in the Battle Royal, but. You know, I think you could probably bet against him. You know, some guys, I think you just could say there's really little to no chance. But I think for the most part, it's a very interesting field. And as we talk about Bo Dallas, I mean, let's talk about his brother. And we've been high on him from the get-go. A guy that, you know, might be the best in the business right now at cutting promos, one Bray Wyatt. And I love the idea of bringing in a Chris Jericho to continue to help the ascension of a Bray Wyatt. Good stuff. I can't say it's been great. It's been good. It's been entertaining. Jericho is great. It's definitely a match I'm looking forward to. And we keep talking, you know, about this pay-per-view. Another match that potentially could be a show stealer. You know, Chris Jericho, a guy that usually delivers. A guy that seemingly came in at the last minute to jump in on this pay-per-view and jump in this program. But it's working for me. It's a fun program. Two guys that really know how to talk, two guys that know how to facilitate a program. Another match that's difficult to predict. But I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm enjoying the program so far. As you look at this pay-per-view, I mean, look at this. We got Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho. It's a mid-card match. I mean, this is a solid, solid mid-card. It's another match that, like, I can go to make a case for both guys. Jeez, you know, man, predicting this. I'm going to go with Bray on this. I think Bray is going to get a really big victory. I know bringing a star back like a Chris Jericho, you tend to think, oh, you got to have that guy win. But, I think Jericho's just so good. He won't lose anything. He'll figure something out. We'll still have this program continue. But I'm going to go with Bray in this match. And, you know, as I'm getting ready to watch, like, the
the pre-show on, and I have the network running on mute as we do the show. You know what's on right now? Butterbean.
What do you got?
Killing Bart Gunn.
I'm watching. I was just watching that too.
Do you remember
the brawl
that?
Brawl. Yeah,
the
that was
brawl awesome. Brawl. I remember when I first saw that. I swear to God, I thought Butterbean killed him. When they saw it in slow motion, it was like it looked like his head was really gonna come off. But yeah, I haven't watched that in a while.
Bart Gunn was the original bobblehead doll. Think about it. There were no bobblehead dolls back in the day. Maybe, but I think Bart Gunn was the inspiration for people making bobblehead dolls.
But dude, I mean, thank God he was okay. But I mean, if you saw that and you were told that he broke his neck afterwards, I mean, you totally would have believed it. It was one of the most devastating knockout punches I have ever seen. But I digress. That happens to be on the network right now. So check it out. Get on the network. If you don't have it, get the network. WWE, hire us to promote the network. Anyway, back to Bray versus Chris Jericho. You know, I mean, it's a solid program. Two great talkers. I think they're going to deliver in the ring tonight. Your thoughts on the program and the matchup?
I think it will deliver. I think there's more than meets the eye when it comes to this storyline. The rumor is Jericho's around till September, so I think his sole intention was to, you know, put talent over. But I don't think it's going to happen tonight. I think this is going to progress. I see Jericho getting the win. I'm going to disagree with you, Ken. I see Chris Jericho getting the win and defeating Bray Wyatt tonight. But I think Bray gets his big win on a much bigger stage at SummerSlam against Jericho.
Ooh. Interesting. I'm going to change my mind now. No, I'm not. I'll go with Bray tonight in this matchup. But again, you know, it's one of those things it's wild, man. You know, looking at this pay-per-view and just, like, every match, it's like, wow, that could be a show stealer. Hey, look at that. Yeah, that could be a show stealer. Wow. Oh, yeah, that's the Battle Royal. That's going to be great. Oh, wait. Yeah, Adam Rose Fandango, not going to be a show stealer.
If I have to use the bathroom, hopefully it's during that match.
Which is amazing that we're picking that match above or below, however you want to look at it, the Divas matches as far as the bathroom break match.
I know, right? That's got to be a first, because normally the girls' matches are automatic, you know, popcorn concession matches. So bathroom breaks, and that's pretty wild. And that shows to you at least what people think of, you know, the Adam Rose character and how far off Fandango has fallen since, you know, that night in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the night after WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, I mean, when this matchup, I mean, it's going to be a lot of shtick. It's going to be a lot of comedy. You know, we've read the reports on the dirt sheets that, you know, Adam Rose is supposed to be the new comic relief now that Santino is gone. You know, I mean, I like Adam Rose. I don't like him. Like, I don't think he's going to be a main eventer. But for me, I don't know. I just find the whole thing entertaining. It's a fun little gimmick. I would look for it tonight. And it's funny, David, during the week I said the exact same thing. The new version of Lay Cool will probably in some way, shape, or form distract Fandango. You know, I think that they want the parade of misfits and miscreants to be prancing around the ring at the end. So I honestly, when I look at the predictions for tonight, this is a match I honestly think is a bathroom break no-brainer. I would be shocked if Fandango won this match. I think it's Adam Rose all the way.
Yeah. I mean, the way the storyline has gone for Fandango is that, you know, he used both women to his advantage. They both smartened up and realized that they were being used by Fandango. They put their two heads together. Now they're a unit. And Fandango's left without a dance partner, so it's you know, it's about time Fandango, you know, goes through his troubling times right now. So this wouldn't surprise me one bit that Fandango loses tonight.
So there you go. All right, we're back on the Lopez. We're both on Adam Rose winning tonight. You know, it's funny because we read some stuff on the dirt sheets that, like, you know, People perhaps behind the scenes are, soured on the Rose gimmick. I mean, again, I don't see this gimmick lasting for any length of time, but right now it's a stupid, fun little gimmick. I'm kind of enjoying it, so we'll see where it goes. But, I think we'll there'll be comic relief tonight. We'll have some comic spots. Maybe we even get a promo for Anna Rose telling Fandango, of course, don't be a lemon, be a rosebud. But I think that's what we're going to see tonight. Nothing earth-shattering from this matchup, but Adam Rose victorious. Let's get into, again, now back to another match that potentially could very well be a show stealer. And Ambrose and Seth Rollins, two guys, former bandmates, if you will, in the Shield, guys that look like they have some chemistry together. Again, good old-fashioned storytelling. Sometimes you don't have to reinvent the wheel. These guys were in a faction together. One guy left the faction, betrayed the faction, now they hate each other. Bam, storyline. Don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's good old-fashioned storytelling. Two guys that can talk. Two guys that can go in the ring. I think this should be a very good matchup. Looking forward to this matchup tonight. A very, very difficult match for me to look at and predict. However, I think this is a match that very possibly you could have a double DQ or a double countout. If I'm really going to get into it, I just think there's no way that Seth Rollins comes away with the L. Being part of the Authority, being part of the Money in the Bank, I just think there's no way that there's an L next to Seth Rollins' name at the end of this matchup. So I would go with Rollins victorious. So my official pick will be Rollins. However, would not be shocked with a double countout, double DQ, something like that. But I would go with Rollins. But a lot of potential in this matchup, Dave.
Oh, yeah, this has got a ton of potential to be a show-stealing match. I wouldn't be surprised if this match opened up tonight's pay-per-view. I look forward to it. They've done a really good job with Ambrose and this lunatic character of him building towards trying to get his hands on Rollins any way he possibly can. I'm going to disagree with you. I think Dean Ambrose is going to win this match. The only reason why I say that is because it's been a trend for many, many years that guys with the Money in the Bank contract have always lost early on in their run as the Money in the Bank holder before they were to cash in, whether they cashed in successfully or not. I say it all the time. That contract virtually guarantees them the championship, the way that they portray it on television. So I think that it wouldn't be much for Rollins to lose because, number one, he's with the Authority, and number two, he is also the Money in the Bank contract holder, so that doesn't do anything for him to lose. Ambrose, it only helps him if he were to win. Double DQ, I was thinking the exact same thing. If they don't do something with that during that Swagger Rusev match, I think a double disqualification or some form of a schmoz kind of finish in this match is going to affect the main event tonight, and I will go in further length when we discuss the main event. So, safe prediction, I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose winning this match.
Wow, so we were actually differing a lot tonight going into like this pay-per-view and predicting. But we are agreeing that this looks like it's got a lot of potential to be a very, very, very good match. And guys that I respect would have some very good in-ring chemistry together. And it's a good point, Dave, when I didn't think of the guys losing early on when they have the Money in the Bank briefcase. But I still think that I'm leaning towards or still building Rollins as a bona fide solo star. And I think that Rollins is going to come away with it. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because I guess if I had to really pick who would win, I really bet money. I'd probably actually bet money on a double DQ or double countout. For this one. So, that, again, a great match, great setup, great storytelling, and looking forward to seeing that match. And as we get into this pay-per-view Sunday, and we haven't done this in a long time because of our schedules on Sundays. And it's great, man. I'm enjoying getting ready for this pay-per-view and giving you everything. And we haven't done this in so long. We do this on our Sunday shows. It's one of our favorite things to do. It's a TKRS tradition. So it's that time, man.
The Ken Reedy Show, Gnaw of Approval.
And there it is, the entrance music for the Ken Reedy Show, Nod of Approval. And that's something each and every pay-per-view pregame show, we give you something in the world of wrestling that we just liked, that we looked at and we just nodded to ourselves and said, that worked. And right now, as we predicted, as I digress a bit, Lay Cool Part 2 is beating on, is slapping Fandango as they come out with Adam Rose's entourage on the pre-show for the pay-per-view. Both competitors are back in the ring now, and the match is underway. Getting back to the Nod of Approval, funny stuff, Dave, because see, here's the deal. You guys might not know this if you're tuning in for the first time. You know, Dave and I aren't in the studio together. And it's not like we have, like, millions of dollars to have, like, this grandiose studio where I have a monitor that's filming Dave all the way in Connecticut, and I can see him, and you know, it's not like that. So I'm on the computer, Dave's on the phone, and we still bring you the best in pro wrestling talk, mind you. We're just not getting paid to do it. So as we set things up during the show, as technology has been good to us, we text each other during the show, like as one person's talking and like, oh, we should talk about this or let's do this. And so we were kind of talking in our pre-show meeting, but we didn't actually discuss our official nods of approval for tonight. And because we were still thinking, we're still formulating, the thoughts were still percolating. And so I texted Dave about 5 minutes ago and was like, do you have a nod? And coincidentally, the exact same nod I had written down right here on my show notes. And it's a great nod because the two of us right here as we talked for a long period of time on the Shield, that as the Shield came in and Ambrose was the guy that everyone was talking about from the indie scene. Ambrose, Dean Ambrose, amazing. He's great, stupendous, fabulous. You're going to love Dean Ambrose. And we didn't. We did not like him. We were on the Roman Reigns bandwagon right away. Seth Rollins started to increase like what his ability and his talent was really coming to the forefront. And for us on this show, Dean Ambrose, by far, distanced as number three in the Shield as far as how his character, as how everything he was doing was resonating with us. And as we're texting each other to come up with our nod of approval, both of us in agreement, the nod of approval for this show is Dean Ambrose and how he has gone forward in putting his character together, how we've seen him let loose a little bit with his promos. I am all in right now. I am totally into Dean Ambrose. I love how he's responded to the breakup of the Shield. I love the edginess of his character right now. He's the guy now that when he's got a microphone, it's like, you know, everyone shut up in the room. I want to hear what he's got to say. I like what I'm seeing in the ring and the subtle nuances, you know, when he's getting his ass kicked and he just, as he's in a heap, like down on the ground and looks up and goes, "And all you got?" I'm digging it. I'm digging everything he's bringing to the table right now. We'll see where it goes. But he's right there for me now. You know, he's not a distant third. I mean, if I had to analyze the three guys in the Shield and where they're going in their singles career, I may still place him at third, but it's not a distant third anymore. He's right there. Love what he's doing. Pretty funny, Dave. Right in agreement as far as what Ambrose is bringing to the table now.
Like you said, you know, when the Shield first debuted, we were on the Roman Reigns bandwagon. I still am. I think he's going to be the man someday. I think all three are going to, you know, garner as much success on their own as they did together as a unit. And Ambrose, I've been really digging the lunatic, crazy, eccentric, you know, character that he has portrayed. Very reminiscent of in the loose cannon, Brian Pillman, you know, from the early 90s. I was in Boston last month at Money in the Bank, and he had to have gotten one of the biggest pops out there, you know, during that show when his entrance started, and then at that point in the ladder match when he was taken out, and then he came back to try and stop Rollins from saving, from getting the Money in the Bank briefcase. So he's very popular, and, you know, first look at him, you think, well, he's just some greaseball, heel that, you're going to hate. But he's got a following amongst a lot of people, and his work is good in the ring. And he's one of those guys that, like, you could look at most of the wrestlers in the wrestling world today, or at least in WWE for that matter, and you can look at them and look at their gimmick and say, well, that's all right, but do you really believe he's that person? Like, that could just be a character. Ambrose, in a sense, he almost makes you stop and wonder, like, is he really that crazy? Because he plays that character so well that it makes you second guess yourself sometimes when you're watching him. And I think that's great to suspend that kind of a disbelief to a 31-year-old male like myself who's watched wrestling virtually his entire life. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it comes off as genuine, and I mean, who knows? Maybe he is a little crazy, but yeah. I mean, we weren't on this show. You know, we call it as we see him, man. You know, we don't go. You know, sometimes we go with the trends, and sometimes we don't. Here, I mean, we kind of look at things and develop our own opinions or what resonates with us. And Ambrose just wasn't. He just wasn't. And I know, like, I would go and I would talk to guys who are like big fans of the indie scene, and it was like sacrilege to say, yeah, I'm not digging Ambrose. He's just not doing it for me. And I'm not saying we were wrong necessarily because, maybe they just didn't, let him let loose a little bit. Now, totally on board. So without even planning it, without even discussing beforehand, Dave and I both in agreement. So after placing him in a distant third place in the Shield, Dean Ambrose, congratulations, because on a Battleground Sunday, you get our nod of approval.
The Ken Reedy Show, nod of approval.
I hope he realizes how big an honor that is. I hope he's listening. He's not listening. Is he?
He should take notes from Cesaro, who's got the record for the most nod of approvals here on the Ken Reedy Show.
It's a good point. By the way, Adam Rose won the pre-show match, so woohoo! We got one prediction right. So anyway, as we get to it, we're about 10 minutes away from a battleground. Battleground, no longer a throwaway pay-per-view. Damn it, no longer. We get to the championship match, a fatal four-way between the champion John Cena, the monster Kane, the Viper Randy Orton, and the up-and-comer, the heir apparent, Roman Reigns. Interesting crop for the fatal four-way, and it's amazing as the WWE continues to try to create a landscape of good storytelling in the wake of Daniel Bryan's injury. A lot of question marks surrounding the World Heavyweight Championship title. The rumors swirling. Do we get a Brock Lesnar sighting this evening? Do we get a hint of a cash-in at some point after the Fatal 4-Way? Dave, we're hearing this news. Conventional wisdom would say, coming out of this, it's Battleground. SummerSlam is one of the glory pay-per-views. John Cena retains, but John Cena's got some movie commitments, not going to be on Raw for the next couple of weeks. Interesting stuff.
I would like to consider this situation here with tonight's main event, the 6 degrees of the WWE Championship. I don't have all 6 degrees, but it's very similar to that game 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon that most of pop culture has played for decades. But anyhow, it is very interesting stuff. A few weeks back, it was reported, it was leaked by a Canadian pay-per-view provider that WWE, you know, had a video come out hyping up a Brock Lesnar-John Cena match for SummerSlam. It did not promote it as being for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. However, most people ventured to guess that that was the case. Now, with everything that's been going on, and it's been talked about that he's going to be appearing in a movie, and he's going to be taking just a couple of weeks off from Raw, and with the appearance by Paul Heyman promoting the Option C, what I mentioned earlier just recently about the finish to the Dean Ambrose-Seth Rollins match, there's a multiple different ways this championship can go. Tony mentioned Roman Reigns, for instance. Roman Reigns could be a heavy favorite into winning this title. A lot of people in WWE allegedly feel that putting the title on Reigns now, pulling the trigger, would really help him. Some people feel it might be too early. He's very popular. I don't know yet as far as, you know, giving him the title right away, if that's a smart move. One of the ideas that I thought of that I could potentially see playing out, especially if you throw a name like Brock Lesnar into the mix, is if tonight somehow you open up the card with Ambrose and Rollins and it turns into some big schmoz and it's a DQ of some kind and both guys got to go to the hospital because they both killed each other and taken each other out. One gets thrown through the Titantron or whatever, and that ruins Triple H's plan B. And Triple H is in the locker room and he's like, my plan B is ruined. And then that's when Heyman walks in the door. And Heyman walks in with Cesaro and says, do you still want to go with option C? Which then gets fans and people, you know, the wheels are turning and people are thinking, well, Cesaro could be that option C. And then the match takes place, the four-way, and Cena wins. And Hunter comes out and says, my plan B may not have worked, but I've always got a backup. And here's plan C. Heyman comes out. Heyman gets on stage, and he's ready to announce his client when all of a sudden Cesaro's music hits, and Cesaro comes storming down the ring. But Heyman tries to stop him from getting into the ring. Everyone thinks, well, Cesaro's going to try and take the title. All of a sudden, Brock Lesnar's music hits. And Brock basically just comes, and he picks the bones, and he ends up leaving the WWE World Heavyweight Champion from tonight's Battleground, setting up the rematch with him and Cena at SummerSlam. Now, I agree with Tony. That match doesn't necessarily need to have to be for the championship because it will draw on its own and be a main event with just the two names alone. But I honestly don't see them putting the title on Kane. I could be wrong. I honestly don't see them putting the title back on Orton because that's been done. And I think it's too early for Reigns. So wouldn't it be a big shocker if Brock Lesnar walked into Battleground not being an active participant and walking out as the champion and ending up leaving, you know, and going into SummerSlam as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, getting everybody, you know, fired up for SummerSlam? And talk about unpredictability and wanting to order the network. Well, holy crap, Brock Lesnar wasn't even advertised for the pay-per-view, and he leaves as the champion.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I like that scenario. It wouldn't be my prediction. It would be cool if it really happened. I think you can bet on a Lesnar sighting tonight. I kind of see it. You know, it's funny. Yeah, when you look at it, I'm in the same camp. I think it's too early for Reigns. Again, love Reigns. I think Reigns is got star written all over him. We've been on board with Reigns since the very beginning. I don't think he's ready yet. And I want all the ducks in a row and everything aligned. I want everything perfect for when Reigns finally gets that title run. And I just don't think it's the time for him yet. I think we're going to see Cena retain. I think we may see something, perhaps an injury angle to put Cena on the shelf for a couple weeks, and that's how they'll explain him being away. So, you know, maybe he wins. And, you know, again, I can see Lesnar being option C, but option C takes place at SummerSlam. My prediction for the match would be that we're going to see a John Cena retention coming out of this match. And I do think, basically, Dave, the same reasons you're giving. I don't see them putting the belt on Kane. Orton, it's just been too soon, and Reigns isn't ready. Cena continues to be the proven commodity. I think going into SummerSlam, I agree. You know, Cena Lesnar sells itself, but putting the championship in the mix as well just beefs it up. And, you know, I think seeing Lesnar tonight just give a beatdown, so his first match, his match ending the streak, is main eventing SummerSlam in a championship match, and then he wins the belt. That's how I kind of see it playing out. So I would look for, I would definitely say we're going to get a Brock Lesnar sighting tonight. We may get a beatdown from Lesnar, but I think Cena walks out with the championship this evening, and that's how we move forward with it. You think that you might see Lesnar, but as far as the match goes, you're predicting Cena to win the officially win the match. Correct.
Yeah, I would venture to guess that he's going to officially win the match. The only way I could see Reigns winning the title, and this could be kind of a throwback to what took place last year, is if they were to give him the title tonight and then he goes into SummerSlam maybe to wrestle Orton and defend the title, because the rumor is that they wanted to do him and Orton at SummerSlam. If they were to do that as the title match and then kind of have the rug pulled out from under him and his championship reign ends quickly, maybe because of the authority screwing him over, then that sets up his road to WrestleMania and to redemption on getting the title back starting at SummerSlam. But if he were to be champion, I think it would be something short and transitional with the bigger picture that he would eventually get it back at WrestleMania, similar to what Daniel Bryan went through last year at SummerSlam going into this past WrestleMania.
My God. With a handful of tights, no less. Cameron victorious over Naomi. We were wrong.
Did I pick Naomi?
We both picked Naomi.
Yeah, we picked Naomi. All right. So we're short now.
All right, so we're about 500 right now. All right, yeah, so we both agree on, like, the John Cena being victorious tonight. I think this match will be entertaining. I think we'll have some interesting face-offs. I think at some point we'll probably see maybe Kane and Orton outside the ring, and we'll have another confrontation between Reigns and Cena. It should be an entertaining match. I mean, the whole pay-per-view really is set up, as we keep saying. Looks like it's going to be a very good pay-per-view. As we go through it, Dan, we asked some of our callers, do you have a match you're looking forward to more than anything else?
I'm looking forward to the tag team match, the title match. With the Usos and the Wyatts and the 2 out of 3 falls match. I mean, I was there live in Boston last month at Money in the Bank when they had that tag team match and it opened up the pay-per-view, and they had the whole arena jump, and I was out of my seat too. It was just good tag team wrestling, and I look forward to 2 out of 3 falls between these two teams. And after that match, I was hoping that they would, continue this rivalry, and they have, and I think this is a good way to continue it by doing this kind of a match. So that's the match I'm looking forward to most, is the tag team title match.
Now, I got to be honest, and I'm looking forward to that matchup, and I think it's going to be, I don't think we really have any clunkers on the card. But to be honest, I'm looking forward to Ambrose and Rollins. I'm just, like we said in our nod of approval, I'm all on board with what Ambrose is bringing. I really like what Rollins is bringing to the table. And what I think you're getting out of these two guys is two young guys that really get the business, respect the business, and really understand the opportunity they have now, and are not going to take it for granted. And to me, you got two guys that are ready to leave it all out there. You got two guys that are going to basically go out there tonight and tell the world, we're both stars. And I think the storytelling leading up to the match has been great. I think Ambrose, the violence in his character is great. Rollins is a real good worker, and I just think we're going to have a hell of a match with these two. So that's the match I'm looking forward to most. with 30 seconds left in the show. Dave, kick-ass show. It's good to get back on board with the pregame show.
I love the Sunday pregame shows. It gives us a chance to talk more and really go over the meat and potatoes of the pay-per-view. And I look forward to the, you know, hopefully we don't have anything planned in our personal lives so that we can do the SummerSlam pregame show.
Looking forward to the SummerSlam pregame as well. Tune in tomorrow night, 6:30. We'll give you all our reaction for the Battleground pay-per-view and get you ready for Monday Night Raw. It's Battleground time. For Dave, I am Ken. Good night, everybody.